Welcome to a podcast of the Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Sunshine, haven't I heard of you?
You're not a cop, are you?
Johnny Sunshine, I remember. Yeah, it was Los Angeles in the late 60s. Johnny Sunshine boss Jack. You were very hot, man.
Yeah.
Something happened there, though. Station fired you for some reason.
Well, I'll tell you something, baby. They all fire you sooner or later.
Yeah, no, but this was something that you, something you did.
Yeah, well, we all do things, right? Uh-huh.
That was something that you said.
Yeah. Booger.
What?
I used the word booger on the air.
Right.
Yeah. I was making about $100,000 a year out there. Then one day I said, booger. Bunch of bozos called the station. Next thing I know, I'm in Amarillo hosting a garden show.
I am the morning DJ at WOLD. Playing all the hits for you, wherever you may be. Great good morning, boys, who's heard but never seen. Feeling all of 45, going on 15.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop and in between Paco's Tacos and Zaka Tacos, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. And true currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees. Our business is people and their love for trees. If Mother Earth and Father Time had a baby, never mind. Here he is, Mike Novak.
Good planets are in the main. Right.
All right. You know, I had to play that. I heard it on the radio, the Harry Chapin song.
Yes.
Are you familiar with that one?
Yes.
Every person who's ever been in radio.
Yeah, there's a few songs that if you don't know them, they don't let you in the club.
Right,
and
exactly.
That's one of them.
And when I was in college, we all played that over.
Oh yeah,
over and over on all of our stations. I was in this dorm, and there must have been half a dozen of us on the one floor who were all DJs at the
they put
college
you all,
radio.
They put you all together, huh? Was that smart, or was that unwise?
I think it was like a disease. We just
you were like a cancer.
We caught it, and then everybody wanted to do it, and so we spend most of our time at the radio station at the University of Michigan, which beat up on Illinois yesterday.
They sure did.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed.
Not me.
I know you weren't, but I was. Michigan.
Those stupid Wolverines. those, you know what a Wolverine.
Stupid old Michigan.
Stupid. And they're
I will happily lose to Michigan. Is that University of Michigan? Michigan University. How do you say it? I'm not a college football girl, I will admit it.
What?
I said it's University of Michigan.
Yeah, University of Michigan, and then the Michigan State
the
is
game
the other
that's
one.
Really important to me regarding Illinois and Michigan is this afternoon. That's the one I'm going to be foaming at the mouth about.
The Bear skis. And
I will happily let the Illini take one for the team if that means my Bears are going to kick some ass.
But
sorry.
Would you watch it, please?
I get excited about football. I'm sorry.
I know you do. You're also on the air.
I know.
And there are people driving to church right
I'm
now.
I'm sorry. And I'm sorry, Jesus. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say this about the Wolverines.
Oh, that's nasty. Yeah.
You know, they're
very... Could a Wolverine beat a honey badger? I don't know.
Honey badger don't care. Honey badger don't give a
Okay. So there you go.
Whoops. More coffee.
Good morning, everybody.
You listening now?
Heather's, welcome to Heather's Last Day on the Mike Novak Show.
Hey, I didn't drop an F-bomb or something.
That's
it's okay.
True. It's true, and I've got the panic button right there.
And yeah, and I think that one's FCC acceptable. As far as
the one
words
you know,
go.
The one you said, you know, it's really interesting how the business has changed.
Oh, yeah.
And the things you can say on the air now, and not that I would.
I'll never forget first time I heard a swear word in a sitcom, like a popular one on like one of the three major networks and stuff. And I'll never I heard the B word, and I was like, you know, 12 or 13, and I was like, oh, they can say that on TV now?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I was like,
oh, and
shocked.
We got, by the way, one of your favorite quotes on Twitter, as God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
Yes.
You know, we have to play that for Thanksgiving.
Oh, for sure.
We
got
to find that. Since I'm already playing Johnny Fever at the top of the show.
Oh, WKRP is classic. Again, they don't let you in the club unless you know about it. Like, there were kids at my broadcasting college that didn't know who Vincent Price was, that didn't know so many things and made me feel so old all the time. And I was just like, ouch. And then finally I was like, okay, WKRP. And almost everybody like, oh, that show's awesome. I watch the reruns all the time. I was like, oh, thank God.
You know something.
Yeah, something.
That was our friend Mike Sanders last week doing the Good Planets Are Hard to Find theme.
Something. Yeah, so everything's in working order today.
Okay, you just got a tweet. From Zan, who says she's heading out encased in leather, to de-bramble.
You're worried about what I'm going to say?
Yeah, really. To de-bramble. See, how does this show go that direction so quickly?
Because we're highly distractible.
Yes, we are. She's going to de-bramble the blackberries. Don't be too interesting until I get back in. Well, too late for that, Zan. We're always interesting.
Oh, yeah. Pertinent and interesting.
On today's show, in fact, let's get him on the line. Okay. Dr. Wally.
Yay.
Schmidtke from Pesci's Garden Center is going to talk about putting your fall garden to bed. And if you got questions, in fact, I got one on Facebook that I'm going to have Wally help me answer. You can call us at 773-838-9278. The gardening season, really, it's really not over. You're still out there. Well, Zan's out there cutting down the brambles. And I haven't finished with the community garden in my neighborhood, putting stuff out there and turning the soil. And I'm going to ask Wally a question also about Brussels sprouts. Yeah, they're not.
Are you going to wait for frost, or are you going to pick them?
No, I'm not even sure it's worth waiting for frost. I'm not sure that they're good enough, that the growing didn't happen the way I thought it would. So, but we'll see. I will ask him about that. And Rick DeMille's not here today. I know. He's with the family, I guess, in the Poconos. And
I can't begrudge him a family
vacation.
No,
you can't. And Patrick Sketch filling in again. So we might have to call up the Pat Sketch Fever cut.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
So he'll be here with our weather forecast in the second half hour. And then in the 10 o'clock hour, recycling. Recycling in America. Well, in Chicago and in America and in Illinois. Tom Outerbridge, who is with Sims Municipal Recycling, that's a division of Sims Metal Management, which is picking up the recycling, the blue carts, in one of the areas in Chicago. So they are in that managed competition. So we're going to talk to Tom about that. Mike Mitchell from the Illinois Recycling Association will also be here. We'll look at recycling. Maybe we'll talk about the proposed plastic bag ordinance that would ban plastic bags. Alderman Proco Joe Marino is the guy who introduced that, and talk about that a little bit, but recycling in general. And then in the sustainable food fundamentals, we got more on the WCPT holiday harvest. We need a sounder for the holiday harvest. I don't know what our sounder is going to be for that.
It's got to be Santa.
Santa!
It's got to be Santa Claus. Whoa. If you have a sounder that has the word holiday
in
it.
The idea being that we're doing it, go to my website, go to MikeNovak.net, click on the holiday harvest logo on the front page, get your sustainables, your sustainable foods ready for our big collections that will go on between the 1st and the 11th. And I hope you're taking this seriously because we are. We really want to do this right. Each week I'm talking a little bit more about it. And you know, we had last week was quinoa week, which was pretty interesting. This week is wait, I know it's – let me check real quick. Because I'm trying, I know that I knew this last night, but you know, I got so much running through my head.
And you're highly distractible.
And I'm highly distractible. And this week it's more about preservation, canned fruits and vegetables, and bisphenol A. When, you know, buying canned stuff, do you really want that in your food? And we still have the stuff up about non-perishable protein, which we talked about last week. So. All that on the Mike Novak Show today.
Website.
Let's go to line one here. Bring in the one, the only, Dr. Wally Schmidtke. How you doing, doctor?
Very good. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How's your garden?
Well, it's the sleep for the season, and I'm building a nice big raised bed out there, so...
Now, why are you building a raised bed since your soil is probably already perfect?
Well, the soil is real nice, but my problem is my neighbor's yards are lower than mine, and I did build up a little bit of a flooding issue this year.
Oh, really?
So part of my garlic harvest got wiped out, and part of the garden, just a little corner of it, was underwater. I think I can remedy that by building up a double tier of landscape stone. And the garden warms up quicker when you have a raised bed. It's a lot less weed-free.
You mean it's more weed-free?
More weed-free, I'm sorry. You turn around and it's easier to work on your back. It's not so much bending.
That's true.
And that's, it drains good, too. You don't have that flooding problem.
Right. See, I just figured that you had it all sussed and you didn't even have to do stuff like that.
Well, once in a while when you get an unusual season like this with all the moisture and the cold and that.
And we did have a lot of moisture, didn't we?
Well, we had flooding.
Yeah, well, in some places, yeah. So we're taught, you say you got your garden put to bed. What did you do aside from putting in the raised bed?
Well, I'm building the raised beds now, but I do to turn the soil over, and I added some compost in there. I added some Nature's Blend and from Back to Nature, and I worked that in real good. And then when I finally get my beds built up, I'm going to take the existing soil that's in the garden around the parameters of the raised beds and put that into the raised bed itself because that soil is so rich. I've been working with it for years with compost and good organics and stuff. And then I'll build the area around it with basic topsoil and then seed it with grass. But my beds will be in real good shape, hopefully, come spring.
That's a really good point, is that if the work you do now will pay off in spades, no pun intended, in the spring, because you give stuff a whole winter to mellow and get the organisms going, because even though it's cold, unless the ground is frozen, those organisms are doing their job, aren't they?
Well, they slow down in their reaction time as far as how they break down, because the soil does eventually get a frost line on it.
Uh-huh.
They'll slow down, but once it's incorporated into the soil, you know, when come spring, it's already in there and it's already breaking down nicely. And then you're just faced with the chore of turning the garden back over again and getting your plants ready.
Now, folks should know, we haven't had that freeze, so there's still plenty of time to get out there and do work in the garden that will benefit you in the spring. And you're talking, I would imagine, specifically about vegetables here, that, you know, doing that prep now. Because I find having grown perennials, trees and shrubs for a long time, they're often a lot less fussy than the vegetables and don't require nearly as much soil prep, although you do need some. Would you agree with that, Wally?
Well, I think the key to your perennials and your shrubs is to remember you may be adding or dividing your perennials. Maybe you'll add some annuals in there. You may add a shrub here and there. But the initial soil preparation is the key. You want to get enough organics and balanced nutrition into that soil. and break that clay up if you're fighting against that, so that your initial planting gets those plants off really well. And then you can follow up during the year with a good balanced application of a slow-release organic fertilizer in spring. And usually that suffices. You know, add some leaf compost to your soil during the fall, mulch some leaves in there or some more organic material. Try to add a little organics into your perennial beds, but they're not all that fussy, Mike.
In terms of that organic material, I know that you mentioned leaves just now, but you also like various manures. What are the advantages and disadvantages of some of the manures? Obviously, this is a good time to put a manure down that's going to mellow over the winter and be ready in the spring.
Well, I like to use a little thing in my garden where I'll spread some good composted cow or chicken manure across the top of the garden, and then I follow it up with a real nice heavy bed of leaves. You know, you can go the depth that you want with the leaves. It's nice if you can mince your leaves up too. A little trick I'll do to reduce the size of the leaves and the quantity and to make an easier way for the leaves to break down is by putting them into a garbage can and taking your weed whacker. Of course, you want to use protective lenses and
I would think so.
and just lower that weed whacker down into that bed of leaves that's in the garbage can. You can reduce them down to, you know, 1/8 in no time at all.
That's a pretty good idea.
And those minced leaves work beautiful. If you have the pleasure of having access to oak leaves, you know, you mince those oak leaves down, and that's oak leaf mold, and that sells for a good penny when it comes as a package product.
It's hard to find that, buying leaf mold at a retail place.
Yeah, it's not around like it used to be. This is a product that you used to be able to find 10 or 15 years ago a little more readily.
That is Wally Schmidtke. Dr. Wally, have you got the lab coat on right now?
No, Mike. I got my blue jeans on.
I was thinking maybe the bathrobe.
No.
Some of our listeners are wearing leather this morning. But what was that comment? We got a tweet on that, Heather.
It was Leather and Blackberries. Wasn't that a song by Stevie Nicks?
I have no idea.
No, she did one called Leather and Lace.
Yeah.
But Leather and Blackberries could be a whole new album.
Yeah. 773-838-9278, if you've got a question for Dr. Wally. I need to take a quick break here, Wally. And when we get back, what I'm going to put on your plate there is a question that I got via Facebook. And Don writes, what about roses? Do they need a winter bed too? And why am I getting less rose buds every spring? Interesting. A declining rose bush. So think about that, Wally, and we will get back to him. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Your friends at Grand Street Gardens have a suggestion for your holiday. Why not enjoy wine, cheese, sweets, and savories while shopping for holiday gifts and decor at the Grand Street Gardens Holiday Open House on Tuesday, November 29th from 4 to 8 p.m. The store will be fully stocked with a wide selection of fresh greens, branches, wreaths, Christmas trees, and more. Bad Christmas sweaters just might be worn and might be encouraged. Join the fun. Grand Street Gardens, 2200 West Grand Avenue in Chicago.
At Innovative Insulation Solutions, their mission is to deliver the highest performing foam insulation systems available on today's market with an incredible R value of up to 7 per inch. Their history of safe and effective application of these systems, coupled with total dedication to quality, consistently earns their customers' trust and satisfaction. They specialize in all types of foam insulation. Spray-applied close-cell and open-cell polyurethane foam insulation, closed-wall cavity injection, and foam-in-place masonry block insulation. Innovative Insulation Solutions is totally committed to anticipating, solving, and supporting all of your foam insulation needs. Call Innovative Insulation Solutions today at 847-454-9081 or go to gotfoaminsulation.com. That's 847-454-9081 or go to gotfoaminsulation.com.
You weren't here yesterday, Heather, but I stopped by the station. I was
Saturday's the only day I'm not here. I know. So yeah, you will not catch me here on a Saturday.
I try not to be here on Saturdays, but you know they had the big Saturday morning show, and Ron Cowgill and Mighty House and Robbie Earhart were here, and we talked about. Ron came over to my house Friday, and we blew in some of that foam.
Insulation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Innovative Insulation Solutions. And it was pretty cool. And
it's fun how it kind of puffs up and gets hard, isn't it?
Yeah, it puffs up. Well, it's like that great stuff in a can, except it's different. I don't know how it's different exactly, but maybe
it is different.
It's just more. And you have this big tank and a nozzle. And we went nuts in my basement because, well, I live in a barn, as you know. And
it's drafty as a barn. I wouldn't say you live in a barn.
No, we're not really. You've never been there either.
I've driven past it, I think, but I don't know.
Well, we've had some of our guests show up at our house, too. But the thing is, we blew in this foam to stop the draft sucking up the hot air and blowing in from the basement. I turned off the heat yesterday.
It made that much of a difference.
I turned off the heat at middle of the afternoon, had the windows open because it was a beautiful day, and then just didn't turn it back on. And when I turned it off, it was 62. When I got up this morning to come here, it was 60 and without any heat on. Now, I think it's working.
I'd say so. Do you have any idea how much money you're going to save?
Tons.
Tons.
As I was saying yesterday, I've been
keeping... in your pocket,
I've been
Mr.
keeping
Green.
People's gas afloat, okay? Poor dears. And now I won't. They'll have to find somebody else. So
they'll have to find someone else in a drafty old beautiful house.
And speaking of the holidays...
Frost away the old year passes.
Ho, ho, ho! Give your holiday event the perfect atmosphere with the Frozen Robins Christmas Caroling Quartet. Fun and funny professional singers, garbed in Dickensian costume. Also available, Santa, that's me, Mrs. Claus, and other favorite characters, and hilarious comedy holiday shows. Make your holiday one to remember. Go to ChicagoImprovAssociates.com and hit the holiday button. That's ChicagoImprovAssociates.com.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Whoops.
What happened?
I don't know. It just stopped.
Oh, there. Oh, it's alive.
It's alive. Oh, man. But this is what happens when you burn CDs in your computer sometimes.
And how many years ago? Is that a
last
new one?
Night.
Oh, that's a new one.
This is a new one, even though it's an old song. And you just got very excited because you realized that... Christmas is on a Sunday.
Well, I was wondering what day we'll have the Frozen Robins in live to perform. So I wanted
to
check.
I'm hoping...
The 4th, the 11th, or the 18th are the December Sundays we'll be looking at. And then, yeah,
the
Christmas
4th. I'm thinking for the big food drive on the 4th. The Frozen Robins. Yeah, I'm trying to get them for that.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, so that's what we will attempt to do. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We are talking to Dr. Wally Schmidtke. From Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines, and I suppose what I should do, well, you've got the address, don't you, Wally?
Sure. 170 River Road, Des Plaines, Illinois.
All right, there you go. You work there, so you know. All right, what about the roses?
Okay, it sounds like the gentleman that called in is, you have to inquire if he's had a problem with black spot, if that's weakening his roses, too.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, that's a good point, yeah.
And, it's also the type of fertilizer he's doing and how he's handling that during the growing season.
Well, it also depends on the kind of roses he has, too, right?
Yeah, it does, but, you know, roses should produce, you know, there are certain types that that'll put a flush of flowers off and then they're a little bit dormant for a while and flush again. There's other kinds that constantly flower. It all kind of depends, but I would have a real good look at what type of fertilizer he's using. If he wakes his soil up in the spring with a little compost first thing in the spring and works a good organically balanced fertilizer.
Hey, Wally, I always like to wake up to compost. So,
right.
I mean, who doesn't?
So,
when you say you in the spring, so you would add. Well, what about the winter? Okay, so first of all, yeah, if it's in decline, you're saying the nutrient level is probably not
right.
adequate.
In the winter, you don't want to feed your roses right. towards the end of September or something, because what will happen is you're going to throw, you may throw new growth onto them. If it stays, you get a warm spurt of a week or so, and the fertilizer kicks in, then all of a sudden you've got this new growth, which could freeze out. Another thing I'm not really keen on is using rose cones. A lot of customers will cut their roses back radically to get them inside these cones.
Uh-huh.
If our Chicago winter turns fickle and all of a sudden it gets warm, well, that styrofoam in there is a heavy insulator. It holds heat. That rose actually starts to grow and kind of cook inside that cone. And unfortunately, when they lift that cone off in the spring, instead of happy returns, you've got a dead black rose.
So instead of that,
I'd rather have them use a rose collar around the base of the rose, and then fill that with topsoil right after the second or third hard frost.
Uh-huh. What about just throwing leaves down
there?
Well,
leaves will work, too, if they're good and dry. A lot of customers will do that with a cage around the rose. But your problem happens, too, is, again, with a fickle winter, where all of a sudden you start getting some rain and those leaves get soaking wet. You may get a warm period. Well, what happens if the leaves start to turn to mold or they decompose against that rose? Then you're going to run up to a problem where you can actually start cooking the soil around the rose and composting it, and the materials might actually turn the bark of the rose anaerobic and soft.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's true. You don't want to get the moisture in there. If you want more information about this, I'll tell you what. Let's post this, Heather. I've got a website here from the University of Illinois. UrbanExt, it's urbanext.illinois.edu/roses/winter.cfm. But we're going to put that up on the, you can just look at it here if you need to get that, Heather. Okay, I have a question for you, Dr. Wally.
Okay.
My Brussels sprouts.
Okay.
And I'm not, they.
That's not a metaphor.
Yeah, it's
right.
There really are. And they're still in the ground in the community garden.
Okay.
I'm not happy with the way they turned out. They have these, you know, huge stalks, but the Brussels sprouts themselves that, you know, and they grow up along the stalk, seem puny.
Okay, well, when you say puny, how big are the sprouts? Are they the size of a thumbnail or a dime or a quarter? How big are they already?
I'd say actually, some of them, they range, but many of them are like the size of a thumbnail or maybe a little larger, not terribly large.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, actually, Mike, you can actually harvest them small like that.
Uh-huh.
They are tasty. When I pick my Brussels sprouts, the smaller ones, we just eat raw. They have a nutty kind of a strong flavor. They're very tasty. But, of course, you know, if you're going to freeze them, blanch them and freeze them, you're going to want them to be at least maybe the size of a quarter or so.
Yeah, no, I know. I don't think that they're going to. We're going to be saving them over the winter by any stretch of the imagination. And I'm going to harvest them at some point. We still haven't had a frost in that garden.
Yeah, you know, and if you want to stretch it out, and the season seems like we might have a frost here and there, you know, your frost protection with a sheet, or even turn a box over on top of them. And give them a little protection the nights that it gets real frigid, and then let them go for the rest of the week, you know, and see. You may be able to get a decent harvest out of them. I would still pick them if they're little.
Yeah?
I would not wait.
And, you know, we did have a little bit of problem with them in terms of aphids,
mm-hmm.
which I'm going to try to counteract that next year, maybe with some companion plants that will scare the aphids away.
Yeah,
there's different ways you can approach that. There, you can put plants put plants in there that they don't like, that you know, chase them away, or you can put plants that they like but put them in other parts of the garden
for a trap. Yes.
Yeah. So I'd love trapping aphids. you know, and it's sacrificial plants. You put them in other parts of the yard, and there are just various ways that you can deal with that problem. Now, of course, you know we had cucumber beetles this year, too, in our garden. What's your advice for dealing with those? Because they do lay eggs, and I understand you want to wait until just before a hard freeze, right?
Yeah. When you turn your garden over
and you can time it before you get a hard freeze and just roughly turn it over. If you don't have a rototiller, certainly do it with a pitchfork or a shovel, and just and turn it over. Try to lift and bring some of these insects that may be overwintering in your soil, or they lay their eggs or their larvae, or the insect itself is burrowed in the soil. If you bring those guys up to the top and that freeze hits them, they're bye-bye for the year.
That's good, you know, and that's an IPM kind of way to deal with it, knowing the life cycle of the insect, knowing how it reproduces, and exposing it to the elements is one way to eliminate an insect like that. We got a tweet here for you. Cover crops, which are better? Have you worked much with cover crops?
Yeah, I've used winter rye. I've used different types of sprouts. I've used types of clover. Certainly, there's great combinations on all of those. There's a plenty of mail order varieties that you can get. They have some specifics of combinations that work really well with your if you're growing tomatoes. And that a lot of people will actually use a cover crop as a living mulch and plant their tomato down in between the cover crop and that type of thing. A little research on it will help and go to a good viable source of that.
Do you have a particular seed company you like for cover?
I really like Peaceful Valley. They have a lot of different combinations of cover crop.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, you know, you can get them across the internet, or you can send for your catalog also.
Uh-huh. Now, can you plant anything like that now?
Well, you're running into a little time phase.
That's
here.
What
you
I know, thought.
Winter
you know,
oats,
you, get,
you might be able to get them to germ a little bit. A lot of this stuff might hold in the soil, and then, you know, right. A lot of people do cast seed out right before the snow comes, and then it'll come up in the spring again. Sure,
and any time it's warm, it's going to be attempting to germinate, I would think.
Yeah, these types of vetches that they have out now, hairy vetch, and that they bind the soil particles together. And with vetches, there's great reports for people that use them on growing tomatoes, like I was mentioning that living mulch thing. That it actually is supposed to increase the tomato production. So it's worth looking into.
Yeah, and one of the things about winter is, well, like summer, you can't really count on the weather. It might be brutally cold, and of course they're predicting that for Chicago, but if you listen to Mr. DeMaio, and we'll see what Patrick Skatch has to say about that, you really can't count on somebody saying, well, it's going to be brutal and it's going to be lots of snow, and then suddenly you get, you know, 4 weeks of warm temperatures and you think, wow, I could have been growing something there. I could have been growing a cover crop or something.
Yeah, correct. The trick I was talking about using the manures in the leaves is real nice, because during the winter, the more snow you have and the more winter spring rains you have, the more it breaks down this content. And one of the good things is earthworms will channel up from when they start waking up in the spring from the deep, and they'll channel up to feed on the decomposing, rotting materials on the surface, and they will channel some air pockets in your garden and aerate it for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you're off to a good start right away with your earthworms working for you.
I should mention, and we are talking to Dr. Wally Schmidtke from Pesce's Garden Center, that Wally wrote up a little piece that we've posted on my website. If you go to the homepage of the website, right at the top, of the features, it says, and featuring, unhappy about your garden this year, Dr. Wally gives you some excellent advice about making next year better. It's all about the soil. And we have, if you just click on that, it takes you to Dr. Wally's page on my website, and he has a bunch of the things that you might want to know about. One of the cool things is, and people always have trouble with this, is how much stuff to put down, and knowing how do you calculate that. And you've got this really cool calculator that comes from Barnes Nursery, Inc. in Northern Ohio. And you just type in, you know, fill in the boxes, and it calculates it for you. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it makes it nice and convenient, especially when you're working with bag compost. You know, you're going to run into situations where it's either a cubic foot bag, or it's a 1.5 cube or a 2 cube. It gets a little bit tricky to do the math. But, you know, when you're working with organics, and I don't think there's a
a cutoff point. If you put a little too much in, well, all the merrier, I think. Better for the
Why
soil.
Not? You know, as you point out on the website, and folks might not be aware of this, soil is basic, you know, 45% minerals, all right? 25% air, 25% water, and 5% organic matter. Now, I've known soils to get as high as 10%. I saw once somebody had like 13% organic matter. That's through the roof, isn't it, Wally?
It's pretty high, yeah. They've been working at it quite a while.
Is that good or bad?
Well, I've heard that you can actually put too much organic matter in a soil. Some plants prefer to have it a little tougher.
Yeah, they do. There are certain plants that that endure throughout a lot of organics in there. A lot of your different perennials like a little heavier soil. As far as bushes go, there's a few of those too. Your lilac bush is a type of bush that kind of likes our lousy clay alkaline soil. So that's an example of it.
Yeah. So it's not always the best thing, but for vegetable gardening, that would be good, with the exception of herbs, because that's another plant. Herbs in general, from what I understand, like it a little rougher too. They don't need as many nutrients, and you get the flavors are more intense.
Yeah, if you're growing herbs, the whole trick to that is don't over fertilize them. If you got some good organic content in your soil, that should be probably enough. I get a lot of customers, especially if they're growing them in containers, that overdo it with the water-soluble blue fertilizers, et cetera, et cetera. They really don't need all that.
What about those, like, chia herb gardens? Since the holidays are coming, we're going to start seeing the commercials again soon. But, like, are those any good? Are those seeds, you know, for lack of a better term, real, you know?
Well, yeah, they're real, and they're viable, and there's a lot of people that make little combinations using your little chias. They're a lot of fun. They're especially fun for kids. You know, it's just a little growing, little thing on learning how to grow in that too. They do work.
But I wouldn't, you know.
Well, I guess a better question is,
I'm pretty sure Rick Bayless doesn't use it to
feed. Right. If you get a chia herb garden and you put your own little window herb garden that you get at a place like Pesci's or whatever, which one's really going to taste better?
I really think that if you use a good organic potting soil and you grow them in a decent sized container that drains well, you'll do better with your own
garden. I
think
so. Because, yeah, those things they look like sponges. It's not even like dirt, it's like a sponge thing.
We had a lot of our customers that did earth boxes just full of herbs this year. And Mike has got a good background using earth boxes.
Oh, yeah.
We did basil that one year and it exploded. I mean, we had basil everywhere.
And that was pretty rich soil. I mean, we had Dr. Earth in there and some really good stuff. So. Well, Wally, always a pleasure.
Sure. And one little point, Mark. Mike, I'm not really a doctor. That's a kind of an affectionate name my customers have given me.
I know that. We know that. I sometimes use air quotes, okay? But you can't see me using air quotes, but I'm doing it, Dr. Wally.
Okay.
No, he's not really a PhD, and he's not a medical doctor. He's the doctor of love.
Of plant love.
All right. Thanks, Wally.
Okay, and hey, Heather, go Bears.
Yay!
Dun, 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 dun. You know, I'm even though they're playing Detroit, I think I'm rooting for the Bears today.
All right, Mike.
Yeah. All right. I'll talk to you later,
Good
Wally.
Good talking to you. Bye, Heather.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Sorry.
We got a phone call pouring in,
probably
for Wally.
It.
Yeah, instead of being all wrapped up in your Bears thing there. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Did we get a Wally question there? All right, she'll take care of that. How bad can life be? It's the second week in November, and I've only seen a few flakes. I'm talking about snow, not politicians. And Chicagoland Gardening Magazine wants to keep life good by helping you take care of your plants indoors and out. In the November-December issue, there's a story about one of my favorite places in Chicago, the Chicago Center for Green Technology. Martha Brennan, project coordinator at CCGT, has some great ideas for plants that are tough enough to withstand urban conditions and even attract wildlife. On the indoor front, you're going to learn a few things about an old holiday favorite, amaryllis. Turns out there are Netherland amaryllis and South African amaryllis. Who knew? Of course, there's my column on the inside back page. Turns out I write an American version and a Polish version. Don't even go there. Pick up a copy of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine on newsstands all over Chicago, but it's a lot easier if you subscribe. Call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600, or go to chicagolandgardening.com.
You know that Black Friday is coming, but are you ready for Green Tuesday at Grand Street Gardens? That's their holiday open house on Tuesday, November 29, just after Thanksgiving. Have some wine, cheese, sweets, and more while shopping for Christmas trees, garlands, poinsettias, bows, pine cones, and tree stands. Local artists will be on hand showcasing their homemade Christmas items. Bad Christmas sweaters are encouraged! Tuesday, November 29th from 4 to 8 p.m. at Grand Street Gardens, 2200 West Grand Avenue in Chicago.
It's great to have my buddies at Grand Street Gardens back on the show. I actually had somebody tweet and said, hey, you got new commercials.
Yes, we got new I did tweet her back. I was like, finally, right?
Yeah. here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Speaking of our friends who are around all year, the Care of Trees, this holiday season is sneaking up on us, and it doesn't hurt to plan ahead. This year, you might want to consider having your outdoor lights put up by the Care of Trees. Their lighting package includes a professional design, setup, takedown, and storage of your holiday lighting and decorations. Their professional-grade lights utilize state-of-the-art fasteners and hardware that will protect your property and can be used year after year. Not to mention the LEDs that will reduce your energy costs. With 9 locations, the Care of Trees has been serving Chicagoland for 60 years. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220, the Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545. Or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
So we get rid of Wally now, and the calls start pouring
in. Coming.
Yeah, yes. That's the way it works. Maybe we can get that guy back because he had a question about oak leaves.
Something about oak leaves. He said he's going to give us a buzz back after weather. So
maybe we'll. Mm-hmm. Maybe I can handle it myself. You never know.
No, you are a master gardener.
I am.
The show's named after you and all.
It is. So pressure's on, right?
Dun, dun, dun.
Let us go to the phones and bring in Patrick Sketch. We don't have your Pat Sketch Fever clip this morning, but oh well, next time.
Okay, Mike. Eminence Front was perfect.
Oh, okay. See, he even knows the name. I never know the names of songs like that. I was like, Eminence
Front.
You
don't know the names of songs like that?
I know. I often just know the song, you know.
So
I know.
You burned the CD and you made it from your home collection, but you didn't know the name of the song?
Well, actually, a friend had told me the name of this one. And I've got this great app on my cell phone, which is you hold it up in front of the radio in your car, and it tells you the name of the song.
And it sends it to you, or emails it to you.
And it sends it to you.
Isn't that fabulous?
I love that.
Yeah, you can even, if you have the iTunes and all that, you can do it where it'll flag it and put it in your queue to be purchased.
Oh, really?
On iTunes. It's amazing. Yeah.
Oops. Oh, and the phone's ringing, too.
Speaking of.
Why don't you get that? That's Mike Mitchell.
Someone new.
Wow. Mike Mitchell's calling us, and I hope he's on his way down because he's on at 10 o'clock from the Illinois Recycling Association. Pat Sketch, how are you?
Fine, Mike. How are you doing?
Good. And Pat, of course, is filling in today for Rick DeMaio. And give us your credentials once more, Pat.
Sure. Cooperative Weather Observer with the National Weather Service here in Chicago. I take climate observations for my location in Oak Brook, and have been doing that for the past 10 years, and I'm also a climate research contributor with the College of DuPage Meteorology Department.
Cool. And do you teach as well?
No, I just contribute past research, which I enjoy doing, looking back at Chicago's weather histories and other locations. So, and it plays a good role with the instructors and, you know, with the students, getting another look at weather besides forecasting techniques.
Have you ever taken one of Rick's classes?
I've actually had a talk with the students.
So he brought you into a class?
Down at Loyola, yes.
Oh, that's great.
It was wonderful. It was a very eager to learn bunch of students, and Rick is just a phenomenal instructor, and it was a real nice time.
Great. So you're a weather observer. How would you characterize this year in terms of weather? I mean, I know you can't do it in one sentence, but it's been interesting. As you know, we've had cold spells, we've had hot spells, we've had wet spells. Not really so much dry spells up in this part of the country, would you say?
Well, no, that's true. In fact, we have been sporadic in different areas. In fact, I'll start right up here with something I did some research for you on the show, and I think your listening audience would find this interesting. Our first snow flurries of the season occurred back on November 9th. That was last Wednesday. The average date is October 30th, so we've been 2 weeks later than average. Only 22% of past years have seen flurries, their first flurries, after November 9th. So we are, again, 2 weeks later than average. Now, our first sub-32-degree morning low temperature. I took a look at O'Hare data, which goes back to 1958. They became official in 1980, but they were taking observations as early as 58. Earliest sub-32-degree was back in 74. The latest was, and that was September of 74. Latest was November 19th of 94. The average date, Mike, for the first sub-32-degree temperature is October 22nd. This year, it came on November 11th, which was Friday. Again, 2 weeks later than average.
And what was that particular mark again? For
that was the first sub-freezing temperature of the season.
And at O'Hare is what you're talking about?
Correct.
Okay, because, you know, I'm sure, well, I'm not actually positive we've had sub-freezing in Logan Square, but maybe we have. I don't know. Maybe you know the answer to that.
Most likely not, because it was close. I mean, this date was 30 degrees, so you figure closer to the lake, they probably weren't. Maybe 33 degrees.
Because I know I haven't seen frost in my neighborhood. Of course, I'm not usually up at 7 a.m., but
right.
Anyway, continue.
All right. Well, with both of those, we're 2 weeks later than average. So I took a look back on the late season first sub-freezing morning low temperatures. 10 have occurred in November. 7 of these 10 years went on to produce a winter season with higher than average snowfall amounts. Now, let me just say this. Basing a forecast on climatology really does, there's no proxy to it and there's no science. It's just something to sort of compare to, a long-range forecast and outlook is the best. However, this statistic coincides with the Climate Prediction Center's precipitation outlook for this upcoming winter, which is also calling for a higher-than-normal precipitation.
So you're looking at these things kind of coming together, eh?
Exactly. The only variable, Mike, when we're talking about precipitation, that could be in the form of rain or snow. So temperature is going to play a big role in here.
Well, can you give me an idea what the temperatures are like so I can be prepared for something?
Well, forecasting a long-term temperature outlook is rather difficult. In fact, that would be Rick's forte rather than mine. However,
and he won't do it. I mean, he does. He's given us predictions on when the first. When did he? Didn't he give us the other week when he thought the first significant snowfall would be? And I don't remember what day he said.
I don't remember what day he said either. But it was like about almost 2 weeks into December. I want to say. Like
I thought it was earlier. I thought it was like the 27th of November or something like that.
Oh, I hope you're wrong.
Well, I mean, it's just a prediction.
When it snowed, even though it didn't stick, you know, the other day, I was miserable. I was looking out the window like, I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready for this. Almost had a winter panic attack.
That's true, but I think you're these gardeners, Mike, have seen and feel that they had an extended growing season here.
I feel like it. It's really been kind of mild, and for those vegetables and even flowers, my roses are still blooming. All right. Some the ones in front, it's I've seen roses bloom well into December in certain years, not last year. But so there has been an extension. And Rick pointed out he felt like there had been at least two fall color or leaf drops or color episodes in the fall. And I agree with him because it seems like it's gone in waves this fall.
Absolutely. I've noticed it out here, too, in DuPage. I mean, we had a color change and then things were stagnant, and then there was a repeat of it.
Yeah. So what do we got in the short term this week? What are we looking for?
Short term, here we go. You know, I'll just touch on this too, Mike. Looking at the month of November with snow, on average, Chicago typically sees only about an inch of snow during November, and that's usually toward the end of the month. We've had snowfall in excess of a half a foot. Now, this is going back, 40 years, but it has happened. But typically about an inch of snow in November.
Okay.
Well, what we have here, we've got to watch the wind today. I mean, we've got a wind advisory that's up till 6 p.m. this evening. Lake Michigan is under a gale warning, so we're going to have a lot of wind. So our forecast for today is a very slight chance of rain before noon. Some sun is possible during the afternoon. High temperature in the lower 60s, which is 10 degrees above normal. And gusts as high as 45 miles an hour. Tonight, clouds again will be approaching the area. Wind chips subside with an overnight low of about 40 degrees. And then tomorrow, there's a chance of rain throughout most of the day and high of 55, still above normal. And the remainder of the week, temperatures will continue to decline to our norm. Low 40s Wednesday night and a Thursday morning, and we can see below freezing temperatures Friday morning, and we're going to get back up near 50.
Are we going to see a significant weather pattern change?
No, I think we're going to see like daily maximum temperatures fluctuating 10, 12 degrees.
With 60s and 50s, that's not so bad.
Not at all for this time of the season.
Yeah.
Currently, Mike, we're O'Hare and Midway is about 58 degrees, same in DuPage. We got sustained winds above 20 miles an hour, and it's cloudy.
That says it all.
Yep.
Patrick, always a pleasure having you fill in for Mr. DeMaio.
Likewise, Mike.
And keep up the good work and keep on the reporting. And I love that you send me stuff all the time. He'll send these, like you sent one on Veterans Day, what the highs and lows and all the records that have been set. He sent that to me the other day. And so I appreciate getting those, even if I don't always get to them on the air, Patrick.
Fine. You're welcome, Mike.
Yes, Heather?
Nothing. Just smiling.
Just smiling?
Just smiling.
Oh, okay. I thought you had something up your sleeve there.
No. It was just we had a call from a listener who just wanted some more information on the website and how to find Dr. Wally's page of tips. And I walked her through it. And it's just if you go to Mike's homepage on MikeNowak.net, that's MNOWAK, and click on this week's show, everyone we're talking to and everything we're talking about and all the links for that stuff is right there. You just got to scroll down because Kathleen is the webmaster. And she sets this up every week just perfectly, and that's where you can find everything we're talking about.
And next week, Rick DeMaio will be back. But again, Patrick Skatch did a wonderful job. Patrick is the weather observer with the National Weather Service here in Chicago and climate research contributor with the College of DuPage Meteorology Department. And we'll talk to you soon, Patrick.
Heather and Mike, have a nice Sunday.
You too.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk. I wonder if we've got time for that phone call. If that guy is out there, had the oak leaf question, if you want to give us a call back at 773-838-9278. I got a couple of minutes. I understand Mike Mitchell, who calls me,
yes.
Called me on
yes.
air.
He's here.
He's in the building. And in the second hour of the show, we will be talking about recycling because America Recycles Day is Tuesday. And as you know, in the city of Chicago right now, there is the managed competition going on, which the Emanuel administration has set up, the way that works, and we'll talk a little more about this in the next hour. The way that works is there are six sections that the city has been divided into, and these various groups are competing to see who will get to pick up the recyclables, and we're talking about the blue carts, and at some point maybe there will be 600,000 homes with blue carts. Right now, there's only 241,000. Did we get our guy on
the line? Yes, we did.
All right, so we'll get to that later. Let's go to the phones. And Chris, how are you doing?
Oh, marvelous. I'm just looking out at my hanging baskets on my patio, and the tuberous begonia I have looks better now than it did in July.
I know. And as Patrick Sketch said, it feels like we have an extended gardening season this year.
Absolutely. Now, the question I had about the oak leaves, I heard, you know, you're talking about using oak leaf in the garden.
Yeah.
And I live across the street, I've talked a couple times, from the Deer Grove Forest Preserve, which is filled with oak trees.
Right, in which they are Deer Grove East or West?
Oh, well, I go to both, but I prefer the West. The East is a little tame.
Well, the East is the one they're renovating.
Right, right.
I had...
Well, I know. I heard the show.
Yeah, anyway. Okay. That's right. You called in during that show, I think, too.
Yeah. The question I had, last year they periodically burned the leaves in the forest preserve.
Uh-huh.
And I was talking with one of the supervisors, and he mentioned that it takes oak leaves about 5 years to break down.
All right. Well,
turning into, totally breaking down and turning into soil.
Okay.
And he said that was the reason they were burning them, so they can get the nutrients into the soil immediately. And he made an interesting comment. He said the oak leaf was the only leaf that you could totally immerse in water, get it totally soaked. When it dries out, it'll burn again.
Give that to me again?
He was saying that the oak leaf, you can totally immerse an oak leaf into water.
Yeah.
You know, and then when it dries out,
yeah,
you can burn it.
Why couldn't you do that with other leaves?
Apparently, he said he couldn't. You know, what do I know?
Yeah, okay. So your question is?
My question is, you know, if it takes these leaves that long to break down, do you really want to put them into your garden?
Well, we happen to have Dr. Wally, and I'm using air quotes, Dr. Wally.
Okay.
Right there. So he wants to know if it takes them that long to break down, do you really want to use them? And the point is, and you got about a minute, I would say, as you mentioned, chopping them up.
Well, that's the trick with that. You want to mince those leaves up with that little trick I talked about by Weed Whacker. When they're in finer particles, they're going to break down easier and quicker in the soil. That's a really good thing to do for those. And oak leaves have a tendency to drop real late because there's a little lenosil that's attached to the leaf. They are usually the last guys to come off your trees. Sometimes there's a few leaves left all during the winter.
Yeah. Hold on. Chris, what was that, Chris?
I said I'm looking at an oak tree, three oak trees right now outside my window, and I'd say that they have about 80% of their leaves on.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so the idea is, oak leaves take a longer time, but the more you chop them up, the faster they'll break down, so it won't take that long. So good question. Thanks, Wally.
Sure.
And next hour, recycling. Stick around, okay?
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees. Our business is people and their love for trees. Here he is again, Mike Novak. Jesus, one tone over the line. Sitting downtown in a railway station, one tone over the line. Waiting for the train that goes home, sweet Mary, hoping that the train is on time. Sitting downtown in a railway station, one tone.
Welcome back, and look who we have in the studio. Always at this time of the year, it's like a holiday thing with you, but it's not the holiday is Chicago, or rather America Recycles Day, which is Tuesday. Mike Mitchell, the executive director of the Illinois Recycling Association. Morning.
Hi, Mike. Yeah.
Wait. That was my bad. Now let's try it. Your mic's on.
Hi, Mike. This is this is what, our third or fourth or fifth straight year doing this?
Yeah, I guess so. Wait, but I want to know who you got with you there.
Well, this is my 7-year-old assistant, super second grader, Liam.
Okay.
And I had to bring him with me today.
All right. Hi, Liam. Thanks for coming by.
He's excited about seeing a real live radio
super
station.
Super excited, you can tell.
William's up front playing on my computer right now. It's early on the Sunday for kids.
You know, it's a kids.
It's kids'
Sunday.
Day.
Here at
Liam and William, I like it.
Yeah. And we have lots to talk about, lots going on. But let's talk very briefly before we get started about America Recycles Day and the significance of that.
Well, America Recycles Day is, for about the past decade, kind of a counterpoint to Earth Day. Mm-hmm. It's designed as, you know, Earth Day is a day in April that celebrates many, many environmental issues, including recycling. Mm-hmm. And so we developed something at the other side of the calendar as a kind of a counterpart to that to focus exclusively on recycling. And America Recycles Day is really a period from about when school begins to, it culminates on November 15th, America Recycles Day. So it's to say it's a one day a year that we focus on to make recycling better 365 days a year.
Yeah, it's you know, you have the one day that you celebrate, but you hope people are doing this all year long.
Typically the America Recycles Day is now coordinated and managed by Keep America Beautiful, you know, a large national organization with many chapters and members and partners.
Right.
They have reached out to state recycling associations like ours to be recycling partners in many of their programs. And, they do a great job of promotion in schools. They do there's a recycle rally that's done in September that starts in schools to do more school recycling. They're working with PepsiCo and the Dream Machine recycling rally. Mm-hmm. And PepsiCo gives recycling bins to schools. You can still sign up for that. Recycle Bowl is the sign-up period is over. But the recycle rally for the Dream Machine is still ongoing.
The Dream Machine.
Those are recycling containers that PepsiCo provides to schools to collect containers, cans and plastic bottles. And there is prizes. There's points you can earn for the school to get things for the school, things like that.
And actually, we'll be talking about that with Tom Outerbridge. Mm-hmm. From Sims Municipal Recycling because they're doing an outreach to a school tomorrow. I can't stress enough that or how important education is in terms of recycling. You look at adults and you look at a place like Chicago and people who listen to the show know that every time I talk recycling, they they must start to roll their eyes and say, I hope it's not at me. I hope it's at the city that can't get it done. The city that couldn't shoot straight. But I've seen and been part of that population that has gotten really confused over the past couple of decades. Are we using this? Is it a blue bag? Does blue bag work? Are we going to get the blue carts? Are the blue carts going to be rolled out? How do we use them? Is it effective? Why don't we have the enough? Blah, blah, blah. And what happens is, the education has gotten pushed so far in the background that people have become cynical. They don't understand how it works. They figure it doesn't. They figure it's a scam. And that's not good. So we need to – I think we're doing probably a better job with kids in explaining recycling and the need for recycling than we are with adults.
Probably, yeah. I mean, the city realizes with the new administration and the new sustainability director – they definitely realize that recycling is something they're yet to get right and that they must get right. You know, Karen Weigert spoke at a recent Green Drinks at Foresight Design.
And she took some heat there. I wasn't there, but
I was there,
I read. So apparently it sounded like, at least from the article I read, and like I said, I wasn't there. So maybe you can say, apparently, you know, folks said, yeah, but when are we going to get recycling?
Her message was obviously it's, you can't blink and have it happen. But I think it's certainly loud and clear from that office, from the mayor's office, that they realize they haven't gotten it right. They realize they have a limit to, they have to get it right. And, you know, they said, okay, we're here to, you know, here's the new chief sustainability officer. We're going to talk about the three most important issues facing us today. And the moderator said, well, that, according to my count, that's recycling, recycling, and recycling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, it's clearly, you know.
it better be on their radar screen. But, you know, when the mayor was looking for ideas after he was elected. Chicago Recycling Coalition, which I'm president of, and of course, full disclosure, I am president. I do not get paid. It's an all-volunteer organization. You know, we offered our input. Mm-hmm. He wasn't interested, mm-hmm. and his people weren't interested. And I say, okay, you know, figure it out. Get it done. Or yeah, you know, I don't want to be the loyal opposition. I want to be on board with it and see how this is going to work.
Well, yeah, we have a strategic goal as is the Illinois Recycling Association, and you and I have known each other, you know, from the Chicago Recycling Coalition contact even longer than the Mike Novak Show. You know, we have a strategic goal to develop a good relationship in which we would like, you know, all of our members and key Chicago members like, you know, like your coalition to be part of, you know, just to, you know, develop a good dialogue with the city as they move forward. Clearly, there's some good initiatives going on. I mean, clearly this, we'll be talking in a little while, the managed competition is an effort to try to figure it out, to try to get some metrics, to try to, you know, to demonstrate what type of recycling works best. And I think the city still undervalues. I spend a lot of my time over the past years both criticizing and defending the city and their program. Because depending who you're talking to, I don't think the city realizes really the how much sort of like psychological damage the Blue Bag program did. How much?
I don't think they got that at all. How much incredible
lack of faith, cognitive dissonance. We don't believe what you tell us from any point forward. It has done. So when people get these blue carts, which are great, which is what the rest of the world calls recycling, which is what 99% of the Chicago suburban metro area, which has extremely high recycling rates, extremely high participation rates, it's what the rest of the world calls recycling. People still look at those and say, ah, who knows what happens to this stuff.
And that's the point I was making. They have been whipped around so ferociously in the last 20 years that they don't believe anymore. Mm-hmm. They don't believe it's going to get done. And now you have to overcome that. You have not only just educate people to get them to drop stuff off, but you have to overcome the years of negative reinforcement.
Right. And it's not like the Blue Bag was a total scam. It was an incredibly inefficient system. But I would defend the city and telling people that it's not a scam. It does get recycled or attempt to be recycled. It does go to special, at the time, very modern processing facilities where it was sorted and it was baled and it was sent off. It wasn't like they took it straight to the landfill. It was, you know, it was an inefficient system.
But some got straight to the landfill. Right. I mean, there was a sense that some of that went and got to the stations where it was separated, and some didn't.
Right.
And there was so much contamination as well. Right. Of the Blue Bags.
Right. In many cases, I don't need to go into all that detail, but in many cases, I was simply defending the concept that there actually are recycling stations, and some of that Blue Bag stuff did get recycled. It wasn't simply a scam, but there's that damage.
Okay, I'll go along. It wasn't simply
right. No,
there, a
it
scam.
Was intended to be recycled, and I witnessed a lot of the recycling. I've seen the bales and all that stuff. Yeah.
Well, welcome to the 21st century now, and we have managed competition in the city of Chicago. And what has happened is that the city has been divided into six areas, two of which are being picked up by Streets and Sand employees, three of which are being picked up by Waste Management, who has a long history involved in the – in fact, they were the company that launched the Blue Bag, and they have three areas. And one area is managed by Sims Metal Management, the municipal recycling division, and the head of that division is on the phone right now, Tom Outerbridge. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
It's great to have you on board here and talk to us. You heard Mike Mitchell from the Illinois Recycling Association. I guess I would start with you heard us talking about how we have to overcome years of negative reinforcement about recycling in Chicago. How do you propose to do that in the area you're covering?
Well, I suppose it's not an easy answer if you've got that level of distrust or uncertainty about the whole program. It's going to be a long, gradual process. But, you know, I think it's outreach and education and assurance that this is why, you know, there's a reason to do this, and the material is being recycled, and there's a lot of different aspects, obviously, to that outreach and education program, whether it's flyers to homeowners or notices on bins that the materials are contaminated, and then, of course, as you were talking about, the outreach efforts with kids.
Right, and you're doing one tomorrow. On the south side of Chicago, which is a great thing, and it's for America Recycles Day. You're doing it a day early. But you guys are going – I'm looking up the name of the school here. I'm sorry.
It's the Wordsworth Elementary
There we go. Wadsworth. A school at 6420 South University Avenue. And you're also going to be collecting electronic equipment, and including computers, monitors, televisions, printers, cell phones, the usual suspects there, but which is great. And what are you going to be doing for the kids?
Well, this is kind of this is the first time we're doing this to really see, and you know, the idea is that if it works well, if it's a successful event, that we'll go on to, you know, the other schools in the zone or the district that we've been awarded. So yeah, the electronics collection part of this, it's not sort of a major electronics recycling event like you might have in public parking lots and so on, but we are trying to introduce that element into it as well, because we're a large electronics recycler, and electronic scrap or electronic waste obviously is something you want to be diverting from landfills and incinerators. So we're encouraging kids or their families to bring the electronics, waste electronics with them, and we'll be recycling those. We have two electronics recycling plants in Chicago, and that's just from 8:15 to 9:30. It's not the major focus event. And then we'll be basically working with having all the classes, grades, I think with pre-K through fifth grade, bring them in one at a time. And we've got the video, we've got some games, we've got some materials for them to take home, all revolving around why recycle, what happens to the material when it gets put in the bin, and what they're meant to do at home.
Well, we know what happens. It goes to the landfill, right? Sorry.
Yeah,
oh, wait. That's the Chicago mentality. I got to break out of that, okay? Is this an MO for Sims? Have you done the, now you handle recycling in New York City. How big an operation do you have in New York City?
Yeah, New York City is a little different than Chicago in that the Department of Sanitation collects all material, whereas in Chicago we're actually providing the collection service, but and the scale of it's much larger. We get the recyclables from about 8.2 million people here in New York. So, and the collection method's a little bit different. But no, we are here in New York entirely committed to this. We have a long-term 20-year contract actually with the City Department of Sanitation to handle the curbside material, and so we've got a significant vested interest in, you know, people putting one. Keeping the trash out, giving us just the stuff that we're meant to get, but also getting as much as possible. We basically want maximum quality and quantity of recyclables possible.
And do you go to the schools there and do the same kind of program you're doing in Chicago?
Yeah, we do a lot of events here. We do sort of public events in parks, and the Department of Sanitation has a program where they've actually spent many years developing curriculum that connects recycling with state and city curriculum requirements, so that it's trying to basically make it easy for teachers to incorporate recycling activities into their lessons, whether it's math or science. And so what we're trying to do in that regard is actually we're building a large new recycling facility in Brooklyn, and that will have an education center really dedicated for field trips for elementary and middle school kids, and totally orienting the activities and exhibits that the kids are participating in with the curriculum guide, so that, because teachers have a lot of requirements, they have a lot of pressures to meet certain, you know, to hit certain goals and scores, and so what we're trying to do is make it easy to use recycling to meet those requirements.
You're folding it into the curriculum or something like that.
Exactly.
Are you going to be taking Chicago kids to recycling centers, try to show them?
I'm not sure. There's the challenges with that is, you know, these recycling operations, they're large industrial facilities. And so they really have to be designed to have safe you know, viewing stations and so forth from which kids can view the activity.
Mm-hmm.
The original facility is actually Chicago built that are not running right now. There was actually a toured one that's now mothballed but had a nice recycling center. The place where the facility we're using now is not really geared up for those kinds of visits. That's why in New York, this new facility we're building will be built with that in mind.
Yeah, but you know, all due respect, Tom, we don't care about New York.
I know. But anyway, I guess so. Yeah, the answer is right now in terms of bringing kids to a recycling center, under very controlled settings, small groups, but we're not geared up to bring whole classes of young kids just because of the environment.
I understand. However, I would love to see the facility, and I bet Mike would, too, get a tour.
Sure. I think the one thing I get when I talk to people, or even coming out of a lot of tabling events, you know, in the broader America Recycles Day season, I get a lot of – even adults don't really understand what happened. Even adults outside of Chicago with far less controversial programs they don't really understand what happens to stuff. And so even if you could develop a video that you post online or that would link to the City of Chicago website, I know the previous waste management did, you know, of the Medill MRF. There was a video online about that that shows how it worked. We have videos on our website of another facility, a suburban MRF, a large suburban single-stream MRF facility. And it helps people just to see what happens so they can really see that there are technological, mechanical, even computer-generated, you know, technology in these modern MRFs that do separate the material into recyclable and valuable commodities. And that really helps instill public faith in the program.
I agree completely. One thing we have is, and we just developed a very short, you know, 3 or 4 minute little kind of cartoon video, but very much oriented for kids, but just explaining the multiple steps from the time you buy it in a store to the time you put it in a recycling bin and how it eventually makes its way back into a bottle. But I think, yeah, you said you can take it a lot further in terms of, you know, all of the work and effort that goes into recovering these materials. I mean, the way we look at it is we're not in the waste business. We're in the commodity business, and it's all about taking this material and turning it back into a valuable commodity that then there's really a global marketplace for.
And some of which you get to recoup as well.
Yeah, it's a significant part of the economic equation. I mean, it doesn't make money for the city, but what it does is it offsets the costs of recycling.
Yeah. That's Tom Outerbridge. He's the general manager, Sims Municipal Recycling. Hang on a second, Tom, because the big question is coming up. I'm going to ask, how are you doing? I mean, how is this all playing out right now in the city of Chicago? And I know that it's still in process and you don't have all the answers, but I'm kind of curious what you're finding. So we'll be back with Tom Outerbridge. Of course, Mike Mitchell from the Illinois Recycling Association is also here in the studio, and it's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
The old year passes. Oh my, give your holiday event the perfect atmosphere with the Frozen Robins Christmas Caroling Quartet. Fun and funny professional singers garbed in Dickensian costume. Also available, Santa, Mrs. Claus, that's me, and other favorite characters, and hilarious comedy holiday shows. Make your holiday one to remember. Go to ChicagoImprovAssociates.com and hit the holiday button. That's ChicagoImprovAssociates.com.
Your friends at Grand Street Gardens have a suggestion for your holiday. Why not enjoy wine, cheese, sweets, and savories while shopping for holiday gifts and decor at the Grand Street Gardens Holiday Open House on Tuesday, November 29th from 4 to 8 p.m. The store will be fully stocked with a wide selection of fresh greens, branches, wreaths, Christmas trees, and more. Bad Christmas sweaters just might be worn and might be encouraged. Join the fun. Grand Street Gardens, 2200 West Grand Avenue in Chicago.
At Innovative Insulation Solutions, their mission is to deliver the highest performing foam insulation systems available on today's market with an incredible R value of up to 7 per inch. Their history of safe and effective application of these systems, coupled with total dedication to quality, consistently earns their customers' trust and satisfaction. They specialize in all types of foam insulation. Spray-applied closed-cell and open-cell polyurethane foam insulation, closed-wall cavity injection, and foam-in-place masonry block insulation. Innovative Insulation Solutions is totally committed to anticipating, solving, and supporting all of your foam insulation needs. Call Innovative Insulation Solutions today at 847-454-9081 or go to gotfoaminsulation.com. That's 847-454-9081 or go to gotfoaminsulation.com.
Up and I've been shut down. You're the best thing that I've ever found. Handle me with care.
That's what we do with recyclables. We handle them with care, especially glass, since you don't want that contamination in there. Mike Mitchell is in the studio. He's the executive director of the Illinois Recycling Association. And on the line, we have Tom Outerbridge, general manager, Sims Municipal Recycling. They're handling one of the areas in the city of Chicago. You got a kind of a challenge here, Tom, because according to the report, you have roughly 6 months to prove your metal. And I mean that not in the M-E-T-A-L version, but, you know, how do you deal with that? What, well, first of all, how's it going? And that given that you're only a month and a half into this?
Well, I mean, like you say, we're only a month and a half into it, so I'm not, it's hard to provide a real assessment, but I mean, we think it's going well. A lot of this is, establishing this first month sort of a baseline of how many, when we started going out, the first test obviously to see in the zone that we've been awarded, you know, which households, there was a lot of households that didn't have carts.
Mm-hmm. You're starting with the area, though, where there are carts, and of course you're sort of south of Hyde Park, right?
Yeah, we're starting with the areas that are meant to have carts, but that doesn't mean that everybody did have carts.
Part
of it is kind of just kind of getting the baseline established in a really solid way. There was quite a few carts where we would put tags because there was a lot of contamination. People were putting trash into them.
Let me stop you right there, because this is pretty much something, from what I know, that has not been done in the city of Chicago, that the city has not in the past, even with Streets and Sand, really addressed the issue of contamination and put tags in it. So how are people responding when you put a tag on their cart?
Well, of course, there's a, in some cases anyway, sort of a panic as though they're going to get fined or they're going to get in trouble. And it's really, so there's a lot of, you know, it's door-to-door education. No, this is just a warning to let you know that this is why we can't service your bin. If it's minor contamination, the drivers will simply take it out and put it in the black bin. But if it's just literally being used as a trash bin, once they realize that they're not getting a fine or going to have their cart removed, then it's fine.
So it's just a warning.
It's a warning, and it's kind of, yeah. So it's really trying to, it's that door to door level of outreach, which occurs through the drivers, really, letting people know that. What is meant to go in that bin, what that bin is for. And if in point of fact they don't have a bin, you know, notifying the city or asking people to call 311 if their bin is stolen or missing. So that really trying to get to the point where every household has a bin and has the basic information as to what's meant to go into that bin and when it's going to get collected.
Now, in New York City, you fine people, right, if they have contamination?
The Department of Sanitation, yes. The Department of Sanitation has an enforcement group that will issue fines.
Now, you come to Chicago, and there's no penalty for having contamination. Do you find that the system in New York where you penalize people for that contamination works? Do you think it should be adopted in Chicago?
Well, I think at some point that maybe is something that happens. I think that it's difficult to start off with that. I think that,
sure,
you know, if somebody hasn't had a bin or has never gotten the proper education, it's tough to start throwing fines around. You know, mm-hmm. I think our approach is really just to make sure that all of the equipment is in place and everybody has the right information and you're doing whatever you can do with regards to education. And then at some point down the road, if people now have all the tools they need and yet they're still not doing it, then, you know, that would be obviously more a call for the city to make as to whether or not they want to start to have some enforcement.
Yeah, but you're right. Yeah, I mean, we're at square one here, just educating people. This is how you do it. And it's gonna take some effort to get that outreach. Now, has the city? I know that when you guys started, because I talked to folks in this managed competition program, the city really didn't have the parameters in place for how this was going to be judged. Are you getting a clearer picture of that now?
I don't know how it's going to be judged. I mean, all we can do is do what we think, you know, do everything we can do that we think would constitute a good service and a good program. And for me, you know, probably the biggest, you know, the gauge of success at the end of this will be, have we established one sort of very consistent provision of containers and educational materials to everybody? And have we increased the participation rates? Are there fewer bins that are contaminated? Is there more material in the right bin? You know, more recyclables in the blue bin as opposed to the trash bin.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be both. You know, at the end of the day, we will the most, I guess, quantitative way we will have to measure success will be, you know, the quantity and quality of material we collect.
That's one of the things that. In the Chicago Recycling Coalition, I'm putting my CRC hat on here as president, that we've been concerned about is what are the parameters for this managed competition? Because obviously you've got city workers who would love to hold on to their jobs. And if you go to my website, MikeNovak.net, you will see an article that was written several weeks ago about how the city workers are stepping up and have become much more efficient in the face of competition from you and waste management. We would like to know how this is going to be judged ultimately and make it transparent. And that transparency doesn't seem to exist at the moment. So that's why we keep pushing for it. As you said, you just have to do the best job you can and see where the chips fall.
Yeah, I mean, the city obviously has a lot of data that we don't have that they would be able to use for comparison purposes. I mean, they have the quantities of trash collected, so they can, you know, gauge diversion rates, you know, recyclable recovery rates. They have all of the district information, and so they'll be able to presumably, you know, make some apples-to-apples comparison. That's never quite possible because, obviously, you know, you have different housing densities and different, you know, different neighborhoods, different demographics create different conditions. So it's never a perfect comparison, but you know, they'll have, it seems to me, like a pretty good basis for comparing whether it's purely cost or quality of service or diversion rate.
How do you think you're going to stack up, not against so much the city workers, but waste management? I'm asking a really kind of a,
right,
you know, a question that I don't know if you have the answer to, but, you know, how do you feel about that competition?
Well, I mean, there's certain similarities and certain distinctions, I think, between us and waste management. And waste management obviously has a vast amount of experience in the collection business. It's a big part of what they do, whether they collect trash or collect recyclables. You know, that's a big part of their business, serving municipalities. I mean, we're traditionally a recycling company that's pretty, we're not so much focused on collection. We're really processing and marketing you know, maximum recovery of materials.
Yeah, as you said before, you view it as not as a waste problem, but as a reuse problem or solution, you know, reusing these materials.
Right. And so, I mean, you know, I think, you know, I suppose, you know, waste management in some ways, because of their experience on that collection side, you know, has certain advantages. But we feel that certainly when it comes to recycling and understanding commodity values and getting people to do the right thing, we will be able to do as well as anybody. And we've teamed up with a young, small, good, what we think is really good local hauling company, good high energy entrepreneurial group that we think will.
Who is that?
A company called Lakeshore.
Okay. Yeah, I saw it on your materials here.
Yep. And so Lakeshore is, we're obviously working very closely with them to make sure that, but they're completely motivated. This is a good opportunity for them to demonstrate, you know, how a small entrepreneurial group can be more efficient or certainly as or more efficient than a large, international waste hauling company.
Well, Tom Outerbridge, thank you so much for being on the program. I'm obviously going to be following this story and keeping tabs, and maybe we'll be able to talk again a few months down the road, and you'll have a better sense of how it's been working out for you.
Very good.
All right. Take care. Have a good Sunday.
Thank you, Mike.
Bye-bye. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Mike Mitchell from the Illinois Recycling Association is still in the studio. I was noticing that I got an email, you know, because you and I talked yesterday about this. Somebody's writing about electronics recycling, and that's something you wanted to address here.
Well, yeah, there's a Illinois got new electronics legislation a little more than a year ago, that went into effect in January of 2010. Now, this past legislative session, an update to that bill was passed and signed in August by Governor Quinn that expands a landfill ban. So January 1st, a large number of items will be banned from the landfill, and mm-hmm. we are in the process of contacting all the haulers in the state or sending a letter to all the counties to contact all the licensed haulers in the state. The Illinois EPA is largely responsible for doing this, and us and a couple other of our sister organizations in the state are working to get the word out. But things like, you know, TV, monitors, printers, cable receivers, stereos, keyboards, fax machines, scanners, satellite receivers, speakers, video games, mice, small servers, all kinds of computers, converter boxes, video cassette recorders, DVD recorders, MP3 players, iPods. All that is banned from the landfill on January 1st, like 6 weeks from now.
Mm-hmm. And how are people scrambling to meet this new law?
Well, we are afraid that a less than 99% of the population is aware of it, and so that is
okay.
And so there is a large task to get folks aware within all the points in the supply chain aware of it. You know, the haulers, the program providers. There are a lot of electronics recycling options available. We are in the process of updating our website to provide as many as possible. And again, like I said, providing information to all of the counties and the counties, therefore, to all their municipalities and licensed haulers so that the county website, the county solid waste, the county recycling or environmental page, you know, would have this information readily available. Because there are going to be fines. I don't know what the enforcement level is going to be and how swift or strict it's going to be, but written into the law are fines and penalties for illegal disposal of a banned item in a landfill. Now, that's going to be up to Illinois EPA to see how they, you know, how strictly or, you know, mm-hmm. promptly they respond to that stuff. But it's in the law, you know, and it's one of the more, you know, far-reaching laws in the state. There's 24 states have electronics recycling laws, and the updated Illinois law brings us up to the front of, how progressive, how far-reaching that law is.
Really? So we're that's good. That's good to hear.
Right.
You know, the bad side is, like you said, not everybody knows this. But it's, you know, in terms of enforcement, isn't it more about waste handlers than the public?
Right. The waste handlers are the first line, right? In other words, like the municipal county coordinators, of people who organize the waste services and recycling services, local businesses, they'll need to get the word out about collection options. Another part of the bill is that it provides free recycling to residents. It doesn't cover institutions or businesses or commercial sector. Commercial institutional sector is not covered by the free recycling. But the bill does require that residential recycling be provided free to the resident. Of course, it's not.
Of electronics.
Right. Electronics, yes. Of all these
covered
items.
How often? I mean, because now what happens
period. In other words, whenever it is, it has to be from residents, not institutional commercial, but from residents, it has to be free. And the manufacturers pay for it. Like, of course, nothing's free. So the manufacturers are responsible for covering a certain market share quota assigned to them by the state. And they hire responsible recyclers, you know, independent companies to recycle for them their quota, and then they have to report that they've recycled their quota. But to the resident, that has to be provided free. There's any number of ways it could be provided free. It could be through curbside. I mean, I know Will County has developed a curbside program for residents they serve. Other places
which is separate though from regular recycling,
right? Yes. Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
There has I'm trying to imagine this in Chicago.
Yeah.
Where we
easy, no problem.
Yeah. Actually, that email I was telling you about, Joe writes, he says, you're speaking with the head of a company that does electronic recycling. Mm-hmm. Do they truly break it down or container it and sell the stuff to the third world? I wish I'd gotten that. Sorry, Joe, I saw your email after I let Tom go.
Well, no, there's a lot. There's a lot of certifications now in the electronics recycling industry, and there are some bad actors out there. We can't deny that. But I think the vast majority of companies now are in the business of trying to claim and prove and demonstrate that they're the ones that do it right.
Uh-huh.
You know, we have 20, 30 electronics recyclers in our membership, and every one of them says they're the ones that does it right. And I'm hoping all of them do it right to a certain extent. But there are R2 certification. There's an e-steward certification. There's a number of certifications that electronics recyclers are getting that have restrictions on export. The US EPA has a CRT rule about exporting toxic material to third world countries. China has gotten a lot stricter, you know, in terms of what they accept. And a lot of stuff that used to be able to be shipped to China and backhauled in overseas containers is no longer allowed there. So I'm not saying nothing bad happens. Maybe Malaysia or Singapore is the new China, that type of thing. But the electronics recycling industry has definitely been called on the carpet on that. And I think every company is bending over backwards to show that they're doing it right. And so there's a lot of – that's a competitive angle too. So if they get busted with that, then it's terrible for their business. Yeah.
That is Mike Mitchell, who's the – Executive Director of the Illinois Recycling Association. Is that a term for life, by the way? Are you just going to be there forever and ever?
Well, I'm taking it in 10-year increments. I've passed my first 10 years, and so now I'm in my next 10 years. So.
You know, you're in one of those positions, because I know it, being president of Chicago Recycling Coalition, it's everybody takes a step backward, and there you are, and except you actually get a little bit of a salary.
I am the full-time employee.
Yeah, the full-time employee. Right. Before I let you go, plastic bags,
right.
It's come up again in the city of Chicago. I actually went online, if you go to my website, mikenovak.net, this week's show, one of the links I went to was the city of Chicago's report on plastic bags. They passed a plastic bag recycling ordinance in 2008, and then it took them a couple of years to get it actually going, and they have now reporting for 2 years, 2009 and 2010. 2009 is kind of a little embarrassing because they were just getting it off the ground. Interesting stuff from the report on the City of Chicago website. It's called the 2010 Annual Plastic Bag Recycling Report Update. Here are two things that caught my eye when I looked at it. And this is quoting from their report. The biggest difference from 2009 to 2010 is the increase in number of businesses reporting that they did not recycle any plastic bags, which went from 95 to 486. Based on phone calls and report entries, the primary reason for this was that although businesses placed a container in their store, customers did not return plastic bags. That's kind of interesting. And then the other thing that caught my eye was the maximum amount reported in 2010. Jewel Foods is a business with multiple store locations around Chicago and accounts for 47% of the total weight reported. In addition, almost 90% of the plastic reported is recycled. And this, we're talking plastic bags, of course, film plastic. Almost 90% of the plastic reported as recycled was from only five companies. Dominick's, Jewel, Trader Joe's, Walgreens, and GM Warehouse, all of which were either large footprint stores and or have multiple locations in Chicago. So I don't know whether that's making any sense, that thing. What do you think about banning plastic bags?
Well, banning bags are a strategy that have been used in other parts of the country. I believe there's a few municipalities in California that have bans in place. I know cities local cities like Highland Park is, you know, it's on their radar screen. They're proposing discussing it. We, as an association, absolutely support recycling and plastic bags.
Well, you are the Illinois Recycling Association,
after all.
Yeah, but
that's just a coincidence. We absolutely, you know, plastic bags are recyclable. Our main message here would be plastic bags are recyclable, should be recycled, or use a reusable bag. Either don't use them, or if you do use them, recycle them. In terms of banning, that's a strategy that we'd have to look at in terms of how effective is it. We're definitely promoting it as a commodity. I mean, there are markets for it. It's not something that there's no market for, so that you have to ban. It's not a toxic material that there's no recyclers for it. So, I mean, right now we are, you know, talking about it internally. We're discussing it at the board level. We haven't really made a policy decision on to support the ban or not. But it's a strategy that might be effective because in spite of our best efforts to recycle, and all these stores have recycling, and I used a Jewel in my neighborhood for recycling, and it's never completely full. Nonetheless, they're still in the gutters, in the alleys, on the tree. You know, it's still a problem. Regardless how well you provide recycling, you're still going to be a litter problem. Maybe a ban advances.
Yeah, I mean
that, and
that's one of the issues. I got this site that is a bag the ban site, and they're trying to they're fighting against the ban, and they say, you know, bags are convenient and they're helpful, and I don't know, but we all know that they become the state bird in a lot of places, and they're in the Pacific gyre, and they're going around and around in the oceans and degrading. And if there were some way we could actually control that,
right,
I would say okay, but there's no. I think it's out of control, and you know, we did Chicago Recycling Coalition proposed a tax on the bags,
that
which
might be the most effective.
That's what I'm thinking. Right. You just slap people with a fine, which is like a nickel a bag or something, and they might actually stop using them. We have a question. Let's go to the line. Mm-hmm. And Dan in Chicago, you're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering, at one time there was some discussion of incentives for homeowners or neighborhoods which do the best type of recycling in the form of some kind of rebate or improvement or... And I'm not sure if it was here or there, but I know you got your hands full now, but I'm wondering if this incentive thing might be rounded out with something to incentivize the people who are actually recycling.
I think I know the program he's talking about. What was the one?
Recycle Bank?
Yeah, I think Recycle Bank is what. Are you referring to that, Dan, where you actually got a credit for the amount of recyclables you had?
That sounds like part of it, but there was also some talk about just doing it, you know, well preparing it, you know, that it's clean and easily picked up and efficient for people, for the company to use. Either or. But
this point, Dan, we're really happy if they just put the recyclables in the blue containers.
I'm sure.
In Chicago. And you're in, now, do you have blue cart in your neighborhood?
Yeah, we have blue cart.
Ah, you're lucky.
Yeah.
Lucky
but
guy.
A lot of people just don't know that it's going to be picked up yet and don't even feel the... Well, why should I bother yet? So, if soon there should be some connection. I know your hands are totally full, but anyway,
actually, no, I've got a second here, and I wanted to ask you: do you know which section, which company is handling it, or is it city workers handling the pickup in your neighborhood? Where do you live?
Got in Edgewater. In North Edgewater, right near
I suspect
Rogers
that. I think
Park.
That's city workers.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
We've got the map. There's a map that I linked to on my website. And let me go to that real quick because I think that Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Where is that map? There's the six areas. Yeah, your area two, which I'm pretty sure that is municipal, but I'm not positive. Okay.
Yeah, and it's a big thing because we're not getting our regular refuse rebate at either because we're paying double now. The word is they're going to cancel that refuse rebate from the city. So as a six flat, we will be paying.
Oh, I see. All right. So you're not even involved in this the pickup. You're a six flat. So that's a different story altogether. See, we didn't even get into that question. And part of the problem is Chicago, a six flat is your waste hauler is supposed to you're supposed to contract with your waste hauler to get the recycling done.
Well, that's
there.
What we're doing now at this time. Yeah.
Oh, so, okay, yeah. But you're saying the waste incentive has been taken away?
Right. I heard it sort of from the inside of the city that refuse rebate is going to be a thing of the past, so we will be really double billed. We'll be paying for that on our taxes.
Wow.
As well as, you know, paying the private company. That's just kind of what seems to be coming down the pike.
I'll have to take a look at that. I appreciate the phone call.
Sure.
Thanks so much. Have a great Sunday.
You too.
Bye-bye. Mike, thank you for coming into the studio and being part of the conversation. I really appreciate it. Hey, anything else that we've missed that you want to – we got the electronics, we got the plastic bag, we got the blue cart.
Sure, sure. I mean, well, we can go on forever. So I won't bring up food scraps this time. We'll bring it up next time.
Oh, yeah. You know, we really have to talk about because that's a whole can of worms and a ball of wax and a ball of compost.
Right. Well, let me say one last thing. In terms of step one for the city, which is much easier said than done, we got to get to the point where every – single family house where all of the potential districts have blue carts. We got to get 100% rolled out of blue carts is step one.
And then see what you're right. I mean, we still have 240,000 out of 600,000 and the mayor really hasn't talked about his timetable for rolling out the rest. Apparently, he's got the money. They found a way to come up with the
money in the budget for it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't have it. I can't wait to get it. I know they're supposed to roll some out in Bucktown and Wicker Park. Mm-hmm. That means my neighborhood, but I'm not counting on it. I think he's doing it on purpose because I'm giving him grief about it. All right. Mike Mitchell from the Illinois Recycling Association. Hey, I guess I'll see you in a year, huh?
It'll be sooner than that.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. If you're wondering what you can do for your trees as we head into winter, we'll keep it simple. Mulch. Mulching is always one of the best things you can do for your trees. It's easy, inexpensive, and doesn't require special tools. Mulching moderates soil temperature and conserves moisture in the soil at a time when you're less likely to water your trees. And as it breaks down over winter, it increases the amount of organic material and activity around the roots. And we're talking about organic activity around the roots that feed the tree. The most commonly used mulching material is wood chips. Spread them around the base of the tree to at least 3 feet from the trunk or all the way out to the width of the widest branch. If you can, you know, it doesn't hurt to have a big, wide mulch area. Don't make the mulch any thicker than about 3 inches, and do not allow it to touch the tree trunk. Invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees.
You know that Black Friday is coming, but are you ready for Green Tuesday at Grand Street Gardens? That's their holiday open house on Tuesday, November 29, just after Thanksgiving. Have some wine, cheese, sweets, and more while shopping for Christmas trees, garlands, poinsettias, bows, pine cones, and tree stands. Local artists will be on hand showcasing their homemade Christmas items. Bad Christmas sweaters are encouraged! Tuesday, November 29th from 4 to 8 p.m. at Grand Street Gardens, 2200 West Grand Avenue in Chicago.
Have a banana, Hannah. Try the salami, Tommy. Give it to gravy, Davy. Everybody eats when they come to my house.
Sustainable food fundamentals. Growing good food that's good for the earth.
Catch a Tory, Dory. Taste the bologna, Tony. Everybody eats when they come to my house.
And in honor of sustainable food fundamentals, we're going to talk a little bit about WCPT's holiday harvest coming up. As I mentioned earlier in the program, have we got a broadcaster on the other side of the room? Hey, let's turn on the mic. You want to say something for the audience? No? Okay. William's not that shy.
No, William will start off shy, and then it's getting him to shut up. That's a trick.
Yeah,
that's, I have no idea where he gets that from.
Oh, gosh, I can't even imagine.
I can't even imagine.
Mike, but you're still over there. Mike Mitchell is still in the studio. I did get an email from Dan Costa. He's very interesting observation. He says, quick question, why are all electronics and hazardous waste recycling collections held on Saturdays and usually in just the morning? I can never get to them because I'm at work at that time. I have never seen one on a weekday, Sunday, or even better, during the evening. That's a pretty good question there.
Right. Yeah. No, there are some places, depending where you're calling from, there are some places that have permanent drop-offs that have open all the time or all business hours. Mm-hmm. And
In Chicago, at least you got to give them credit for that. The electronic and hazardous waste drop off is Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, depending, right. And one's in the afternoon, one's in the morning, and it's not every Saturday, but if you look at the schedule online, you can see when. So there are various times you can go.
Right, and places like Best Buy or Goodwill, they have a certain electronic recycling programs.
Yeah. Getting back to our holiday harvest, which is coming up again, December 1st through December 11th. This week on the food drive page at MikeNovak.net, you can click on to the link. You see the graphic for holiday harvest. A lot of great nutrition and things that have been canned or dried. And again, we're trying to teach people sustainability and good stuff here. Now, the canned and dried stuff are usually processed at their peak, so they're often more nutritious than off-season produce and a lot more sustainable than fruits or vegetables flown halfway around the world. Fortunately, they're also good for food drives. Now, in terms of canned fruits and vegetables, the best choices are fruits canned in fruit juice instead of syrup and low-sodium vegetables. Organic is great. Not everybody can afford organic, though. And one more issue. Most cans containing fruits and vegetables are lined with bisphenol A, a plastic and resin ingredient and a major building block for polycarbonate plastics. You're familiar
Yummy.
With this. Yeah, doesn't it sound good? Even at low doses, BPA has been linked to cancer, birth defects, miscarriages, obesity, and insulin resistance, which can lead to type 2 diabetes. And so we have a couple of links there on the page about bisphenol A. And
there's a big uproar about it regarding kids' bottles and sippy cups, too. Now you can find ones that are labeled BPA-free.
Well, they banned that in Chicago.
It took a while.
A couple of years ago.
But, yeah, they're still fighting it, though. You still read about it in the lobbyists and other BPA plastics in kids' products and things. So.
Yeah. So one way you want to go is foods canned in glass. I mean, glass is such a cool substance,
And recyclable.
And recyclable. And you can find a lot of these things at winter's farmers markets and for some products in the grocery store, like white beans, peaches, beets, applesauce, tomato sauce, of course, in a glass. One organic food company, Eden Foods, cans all its non-acid foods in cans that are not BPA lined. Unfortunately, it is currently against FDA rules to can acidic foods in cans that are not BPA lined. That's interesting.
Hmm.
Yeah. But now Eden is putting tomatoes in amber glass jars. So Kathleen did some really cool research on this.
Because, like I said, she is the web master. Emphasis
master.
On master.
And she makes me
not
say
like that.
When I come home and she says, say master.
Kathy. You are warped and twisted in how she deals with you at a home basis. I have no idea.
Martha, may I use the computer?
No.
No, that's how she responds. No, get away from me. Stop that. Dried foods, and another good alternative, dried fruits and vegetables lose some nutrition in the drying process, but even fresh vegetables lose nutrition as they sit in bins at the grocery store. And dried produce keeps all of its fiber and iron. Dried fruits are an excellent alternative to more sugary, fat-laden snacks and are great with oatmeal or yogurt on salads. So Dried beans are an important source of protein and other nutritional elements, and we've got more information about dried and drying foods. So I'm hoping you're stocking up for the drive. The big holiday harvest show, me and Mike Sanders will go from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Right here in Chicago's Progressive Talk. That will be on December 4th, the Sunday. We're trying to get the Frozen Robins to show up and do some singing. So that might be really, really fun. And you'll be able to come here and drop off stuff. And we've got the map up now at MikeNovak.net. Go to the Holiday Harvest link and the map of the various locations where we'll be dropping stuff up. Off, or you can, and take a look, and we'll have specific addresses. We have areas. We're pretty well covered around here.
Yeah, we're good, and they're working on more. I know Tiffany, our Cracker Jack promotions girl, is trying to find some more drop-off locations for us so we can expand the area and bring in
north,
more food.
South, west, not east, because we'd be in the lake.
Yep.
But other than that, we're doing pretty good. So I hope everybody is going to get on board with this. I'm very excited about it, and we want you to help feed the need, as we say. That's our little slogan for that. That's all the time we got. We'll see you next week. Until then, go green or
go home.